This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 216. This episode has been pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
A quick review of this week's comics, and then the circus comes to San Diego. Let's check out the aftermath. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 22nd, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you should subscribe in iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
And we are recording our show early this week, Mark.
That's correct, because we've got some commitments this weekend, so we're doing it a few days early.
But we did pick up the comics today.
That's right.
And we read them.
And we're starting with Birds of Prey number 11 by Swierczynski, Foreman, and Green the Second. So the Poison Ivy decides that the birds are going to work for her. She wants to rid the world of eco-menaces. And we learn that the trip to South America was really just a ruse.
Was it the ruse to get them into that room so that they would be poisoned? Were they poisoned in the room, or were they poisoned earlier?
It sounded like they were poisoned when they were in the jungle.
So why'd they have to go to that room?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird.
So she asked them nicely to help her, but they just wouldn't. So she gave them a poison that will kill them in 6 months. And she actually has been poisoned as well.
Was she poisoned, or was she dying of something else?
It's, again,
because if she was poisoned, she could take the antidote.
Right.
But it seems like, no, she's dying, maybe because of these enhanced powers.
Yeah.
And that she's going to take them and everybody with her if she doesn't get help.
Right. So she's going to give them the antidote in 6 months if they help her. But if they refuse, she'll release this poison on the world and everybody's going to die. So they're now unwillingly helping her stop these big corporations from destroying the planet.
I liked how it was fracking that they were talking about in this issue. I wonder how they stand on fracking. How come everybody dislikes fracking, but nobody wants to stop it?
Right. So I'm wondering how this all works for Barbara in terms of her Batgirl title. It seems like she would be taking a leave of absence from Gotham fighting.
Yeah.
Because she'll have to. Or they'll just ignore it in her title.
I'm guessing that's going to be what happens.
Star Trek TNG, Doctor Who, number 3 crossover from IDW by Tipton, Lee, and Woodward. So the Doctor brings Picard up to speed on the concept of the Cybermen. And Data finds a historical entry from the original NCC 1701. And then suddenly the Doctor has like this spasm and remembers it too. So he didn't remember it until that moment. And we flash back to Kirk and company and a very different style of art, which I thought was very reminiscent of the old Gold Key stuff. And frankly, it was better art than the main story. I'm still not a fan of this watercolory, blurry thing.
Yeah, it really seemed to me like I was reading it without my glasses on.
So there's this away mission with Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Scotty, and the Tom Baker Doctor shows up. And Cybermen are found and then defeated. And in the end, Picard decides it's time for the Doctor to go meet Guinan, because they're both time travelers, but I don't consider Guinan to be a time traveler.
A time traveler.
She's just very old. Yeah. So I don't know the significance of that.
I'd still like it.
Oh, yeah, I like the title. Fables, number 119 from Vertigo by Willingham, Buckingham, and McManus.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Ew!
That's exactly what I had. The Clockwork Tiger is on trial in Toyland, and he's found guilty and then torn apart so Therese can get a meal, and then she orders the wooden toys to be burned in order to cook it. As you said, ew.
Just that panel of her, she eats the first part of the tiger.
Raw,
and they show a panel of her, and her face is just dripping blood, and I just don't know how poor Therese is ever going to recover from this.
Yeah. So the toys want to rise up against her, and then the great bear, the main teddy bear character, explains about the great pretend in that her belief keeps them alive, kind of like Tinkerbell. And if she dies, they do too. So they have to keep her alive. And then Darian, her brother, who's now hallucinating, or maybe not, due to a concussion that he got when he fell off the cliff, still plans to save her. I love there's a reference to the Fisher King and then the Fisher Price King.
Yes.
Frankly, this story kind of like we just whipped along. And suddenly we're back in the second story, the backup, where the Emperor of Oz is being attacked with a lollipop. And his troops are about to wipe out the crowd. And that's basically all that happens in that backup story.
Well, that backup story is usually very short.
And this one was as well. Unwritten number 39 from Vertigo by Carrion Gross. So Daniel's been captured by the Tommy Taylor cult. And the leader of the cult, we learn, worked for the Cadre. And he worked on a team on cleanup.
With Polly, who turned into the rabbit.
Exactly. And so he saw Wilson Taylor turn his partner into Polly. And he has this holy artifact, which is Pullman's wooden hand. And meanwhile, our Aussie detective comes to Daniel's rescue, along with all the mythical creatures that were caged. He let them out, and they all attack. And there's this great shot of a cult member impaled by the unicorn's horn. The detective is doused with this holy water that the hand was soaking in, and dissolves into words, as we saw that other character do earlier, but somehow comes back, maybe due to the fact that she's holding Pullman's hand. And in the end of the story, or this issue, Daniel and the detective ride out on the unicorn.
Yeah. Now, I had another thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know. But remember the last time we talked about this, and I thought she couldn't read?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the words couldn't take her because she can't read.
Ooh, that's a good idea. If she's illiterate, maybe the words have no power.
Right.
Hmm, that's an interesting concept.
You know, or if she has some sort of a dyslexic condition or something and she just can't, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
I did not get that, but that's definitely a
possibility. I don't
know
if it's right or not.
It's definitely
just something I was thinking about.
Well, let's move on to the San Diego Comic-Con. It exploded last week. It's pretty much become the Super Bowl of pop culture. I think if you look around, maybe in the corners in the very back of the main exhibit hall, you might even be able to buy a comic book. Hollywood is clearly taking it over. It's also a huge political battle in San Diego. Apparently, the city just approved a tax to expand the convention center, but a lot of people there don't like it. I have to say, the facilities were essentially crushed when we were there a few years ago. I hate to think how it is now. We had to spend most of our time in lines. And part of that's due to the fact that the Comic-Con management is non-existent as far as I'm concerned. They made a decision that they would not clear the rooms between events. And I've talked about that. I talked about it at the time we were there. And because they don't clear the rooms, people can just camp out all day so they get to see their particular event that might happen several hours later.
So if you want to see, say, the Fables event,
right?
But the session after the Fables event was Twilight, you'd have all the Twilight people in the room.
And you wouldn't be able to get in.
Keeping people who wanted to be there for the Fables event out.
Exactly. It makes absolutely no sense. Just clear the rooms. I don't know why that's so hard.
I think that they, in order to do that, though, they would have to really invest in some sort of a ticketing system for the panels. Because what if you wanted to see both the Fables and the Twilight panel? Mm-hmm.
Well, then you wouldn't necessarily have to have these enormous lines. If you cleared out the rooms, you wouldn't have lines that had to form like 2 days early in order to get into a room. It just, There's got to be a better way of doing it. And maybe ticketing is what they have to do.
Well, personally, what I think they have to do is quit calling it a Comic-Con when it's a media convention.
Right.
They need to separate the two things out.
Yep.
I really believe that.
Absolutely. And, of course, the San Diego airport is tiny. It's probably smaller than Port Columbus. I mean, it's a tiny airport.
Right.
I assume this year, as it was when we came in, it's a true nightmare to get through that city. It's just a complete fiasco. Okay. Well, enough ranting about all this. Let's move on to the news, actually, from the show. First off, is Comic-Con cursed? Two stories happened. One, a woman was hit by a car and killed. She was at the front of the Twilight event line, and she was running back to the line against traffic and got hit by a car.
Because apparently they were moving the line or something.
Yes.
Now, again, what you say is, you know, they need to better manage these crowds.
Right. But the really big stories, at least based on what I saw from a distance, were that the creators are really going to services like Kickstarter to get things done. Three examples are Mark Silvestri is restarting his Cyberforce title, which was one of the original Image titles, and restarting that under Kickstarter or a similar service. Eric Powell wants to do a Goon movie. And then the last one, not particularly comic book related, but media related, is that Dan Harmon and Charlie Kaufman are doing a new project. And Dan Harmon was the showrunner for Community. A new project, again, via Kickstarter. And it really seems like for big time creators, that's going to be the new way. If they have a passion project, that's how they're going to get it done.
Well, I really think Kickstarter is great for things like that, where people have an established fan base.
Right.
I think they'll make more money on it, and the fans will get more from it.
Right. And you have to think, there's projects like bringing back Firefly, you know.
Yes, but that's never going
no.
to happen.
No. And also noted that few movies were actually hyped at Comic-Con, but there was a lot of TV and not just genre stuff either, all over the map. It's become more of a television hyping convention than a movie hyping convention. And I think that's because particular movies that they pushed at Comic-Con previously didn't do well.
Well,
and that could have nothing to do with Comic-Con. It may have just been bad movies.
Well, and I think, too, that when you see, for example, the movies that are getting the hype there now, like the Twilights and things, maybe a lot of the other filmmakers don't want to be associated with them.
That's true. And then in terms of the comic book industry, some DC news. DC handed out these Court of Owls masks at the first Batman panel to everybody who was there. We learned that the Joker is going to return. Duh, of course. I don't know why that was a big reveal. There's a lot of creative changes going on at DC right now, and it does really seem to me that it's not really being managed. It's more of anarchy, that the management is just not doing their job, and they just seem to be randomly moving people around trying to get things kickstarted. I don't get it. We learned that Shazam is joining the JLA soon. I really can't get used to calling him that. I'm used to Captain Marvel. But
so
oh well.
Is he not going to be referred to as Captain Marvel at all?
Apparently they've decided after all these years that they were fine with it. They just kind of gritted their teeth at DC and called him Captain Marvel, the name of their major competitor.
So I wonder if that's going to mean that like Mary Marvel doesn't come back.
Or they'll just have her with a different name.
Mary Shazam.
Yeah, Mary Shazam.
Lady Shazam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's going to lead into the Trinity War crossover we've been hearing more and more about. That's going to happen next year. Also, we heard about the Green Lantern Corps is starting a third army. And apparently this is coming out of them deciding, well, the Green Lantern Corps just didn't work out, so we have to try something else. Because we need these soldiers who are going to follow our orders and do nothing else and have no emotions. And because that worked out so well with the Manhunters.
Yes.
At one point, there were rumors that Stephanie Brown was going to be in the Smallville digital comic that's coming out right now, but maybe not. They've now announced, no, it's going to be Barbara Gordon, apparently.
Oh, geez.
And people are, there are these particular fans of Stephanie Brown who are just absolutely horrified by this.
Well, maybe this is just more anarchy at DC.
Could be.
Editorial.
Some quick views of The Man of Steel, some teasers for the movie next year. Is it going to be darker like Nolan's Batman?
I hope not.
I hope not, but it's certainly going to be darker than the original series. There's no question in my mind of that. But the big news from DC came out of Vertigo is that Neil Gaiman is returning to Sandman.
Woohoo!
There's a prequel story that's coming in late 2013. It'll be a 6-issue miniseries with art by J.H. Williams.
They've had some samples of the art, and it looks pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Sandman was really the first comic I picked out without you to read.
Mm-hmm.
So
for those looking for some way to get your wife or significant other to read comics, late 2013, this would be the chance to maybe jump into Sandman. And you could always, between now and then, get them into Sandman now.
I was really surprised that this had not come out before Comic-Con, because apparently it's been in the works for quite some time, and there have been no leaks about it.
No,
I'm just amazed by that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over at Marvel, they're pushing their free digital comic add-in. So for titles that are $3.99 for the most part, you get a free digital copy along with a paper copy. You listening, DC? There's going to be these digital-only titles called Marvel Infinite. And there's going to be Marvel AR, which is digital with, quote, augmented reality. Not really sure what that is. There's a series they did a long time ago that they're reissuing called What The, which is going to rip off Robot Chicken, apparently, with shots of action figures doing things. There was an Iron Man armor gallery so you could see all the various versions of the Iron Man armor, and they showed off the new armor for Iron Man 3. We also learned that Ben Kingsley is going to be Mandarin in the next movie. But one of the weirdest things is they're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Now, I don't know a lot about this team, but from what I do know, it's pretty obscure, and it's really off the mainstream of Marvel. But I guess they figured with how much money Avengers made, every Marvel character is going to get a movie. Meanwhile, over at Image, Howard Chaykin is doing Satellite Sam, a series about the murder of a children's TV host. Derek Roberson is doing Oliver, a post-apocalyptic version of Dickens. Greg Rucka is doing Lazarus, which they called Godfather Meets Children of Men. And J.M. Straczynski's Joe's Comics will be a digital imprint at Image. So again, getting back to that idea of the digital imprints getting bigger and bigger. Some other related stories. Alex Ross is returning to interior art for the first time in several years in Dynamite's Masks. Terry Moore is doing a new Strangers in Paradise prose story for the 20th anniversary. And he's also going to do an all-ages title once he's done with Rachel Rising. Finally, some Joss Whedon news. There was the Firefly 10th anniversary panel, which is apparently going to be a special on the Science Channel, like in November, from what I'm hearing. There are more Firefly comics coming from Dark Horse.
And apparently there are going to be more main storyline comics rather than the offshoots they've been doing with individual people's stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Dr. Horrible is going to come to broadcast TV. It's going to be on the CW sometime this fall as a special. And they're working supposedly on Dr. Horrible 2.
Right. If you haven't seen Dr. Horrible, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. Well, sorry, there's no Who's on the Cover this week because we are taping this early. And want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my blog about Hogan's Heroes and Star Trek The Next Generation. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.